Chapter 7, Roads and Railroads. Militaries throughout history have relied on ground transportation networks to facilitate rapid movement and sustainment/combat service support to influence the outcome of conflicts. Maintaining forward deployed forces during contingency operations requires an extensive logistics network. An adequate ground lock network is a critical part of this network and is a key to facilitating sustainment/combat service support. Depending on the mission variables, roads and railroads may form the primary locks during a contingency operation. Roads and railroads primarily support operational mobility through the movement of personnel, equipment, and supplies and link support to military ground operations. Railroads provide an efficient and economic means to convey large volumes of equipment and supplies over ground. Engineers play a key role in the transportation network by being responsible for road and railroad construction, limited operations, maintenance, and repair. This chapter will focus on road and railroad capabilities, planning and design, construction, and O&M. Responsibilities and capabilities. The Army has responsibilities and limited capabilities for constructing or repairing roads and railroads. These Army capabilities are primarily related to horizontal and vertical general engineering. Marine Corps engineer units are capable of constructing and repairing roads. Roads. Whether they are temporary or permanent, roads require some degree of service support. This section discusses the similarities and differences between each service in providing road repair or construction. Army. Army engineers consist of three disciplines: combat, general engineers, and specialized engineers. The three engineer disciplines are inextricably linked and mutually supportive of one another. Combat engineers. Combat engineers are responsible for combat trails and roads. Building combat trails and roads is a combat engineering task that is conducted in close support to ground maneuver forces that are in close combat and to support mobility. See ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. Baseline Army combat engineer units consist of combat engineer company, infantry, armor, and multi-role bridge companies. Their basic capabilities include earth-moving assets for the hasty, expedient, and temporary construction of combat trails, roads, or protective berms. Combat engineers can perform route clearance to include demolitions for blasting, removing, and hauling away road obstructions such as rock or heavy debris. They may be required to link these combat trails and roads across gaps by bridging. Combat engineer tasks related to the construction of combat roads and trails includes clearing and grubbing of vegetation and small trees. See ATP3-34.22 and FM3-34. Combat engineers have the capability to deny enemy access to combat roads and trails through obstacle systems and networked munitions in support of their counter-mobility mission. See ATP3-90.8/MCTP3-34-Bravo. There are limitations to combat engineer road-building capabilities. Combat engineers lack the personnel, equipment, and expertise to construct surveyed and graded roads or to improve road surfaces. Combat engineers may require augmentation with additional engineering assets and training. Therefore, general engineers may be tasked to assist in the construction and repair of combat roads and trails if the repair exceeds combat engineer capabilities. See FM3-34 and ATP3-34.22 for more information on capabilities of combat engineer units. General engineers. General engineers are responsible for military roads. Higher-level road work is a general engineer task. General engineers have the capability to plan, design, construct, and maintain military roads. General engineers possess horizontal and vertical assets, which expand and enhance their capabilities beyond combat engineers. They can construct and repair roads, MSRs, and railroads, and handle large-scale projects. They possess specialized expertise, such as the ability to perform quality road construction and improve road surfaces, and include surveyors and soil analysts. See ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha for more information on general engineer support to mobility. General engineers can be augmented and enhanced with specialized engineer units to support road building efforts. They include construction management teams, topographic units, equipment support platoons, survey and design teams, asphalt teams, concrete sections, and geospatial planning cells. General engineers possess a variety of heavy construction equipment to include graders, scrapers, loaders, large dump trucks, excavators, cranes, concrete trucks, asphalt producers, and pavers. Their capabilities also include quarry platoons with rock crushers to produce and haul road-based construction material and asphalt teams for road surface paving. The basic capabilities of engineers can be expanded through the augmentation of additional expertise, personnel, and equipment for extensive road construction projects. Engineers also have the capability of reachback for accessing additional construction expertise as needed. See ATP 3-34.22 for additional information on capabilities. General engineers coordinate geospatial support as needed. See ATP 3-34.81/MCRP 3-34.3, MCWP 3-17.4, and TM 3-34.48-1 for more information on reconnaissance requirements for routes. Army Engineer Construction Units have the following responsibilities and capabilities: route, road, and bridge reconnaissance, road-based materials testing, maintenance, repair, and upgrade of existing roads, construction of new roads, recommendations for traffic control procedures, construction and installation of signs and other route marking materials, regulating traffic where engineer work is being performed. Marine Corps. The primary Marine Corps engineer tasking is combat engineering and limited general engineering in support of the MAGTAF. Marines organized under an engineer support battalion have organic horizontal capabilities to construct combat trails and roads. The Marine Wing Support Squadron also possesses horizontal capabilities to perform this task in support of aviation operations. Marines have no capabilities for road paving, and it is not an assigned task. See MCWP 3-34, NWP 4-04, and NTTP 3-10.1 MIC/MCTP 3-34 Delta for additional information on Marine capabilities. Navy. The Navy Mobile Construction Battalion has organic capabilities for conducting roadwork. In their combat support role, Seabees can provide the temporary repair and maintenance of existing roads and construct unpaved combat trails and roads. In their base construction and civil works construction support role, they can construct asphalt roads if necessary. See NTTP 3-10.1 MIC/MCTP 3-34 for additional information on CB capabilities. Air Force. Although their primary mission is airfields, Air Force engineers are trained and equipped with organic capabilities to construct, repair, and improve routes and railroads. Their capabilities include pavement evaluation and repair and concrete, asphalt, and paving. Air Force engineer units are organized as Prime Beef and Red Horse units, and they can provide a broad array of general and adaptable engineering capabilities. See Air Force Doctrine Publication 3-34. Railroads. The process for authorizing the construction, acquisition, or operation of railroad lines is discussed in 49 U.S. Code 10901. Military construction projects are discussed in 10 U.S. Code 2801. USACE designs, inspects, and contracts for construction of railroads. The USACE Engineer Research and Development Center can also provide tailored training for Army General Engineer units to maintain and repair railroads. Engineer construction companies, engineer support companies, and engineer vertical construction companies perform repairs to restore railroads to service and perform the limited construction of railroads. Army General Engineers have no railroad-specific technical training but apply their road and facilities capabilities to railroads. The Expeditionary Railway Center is a modular force consisting of a single headquarters element and five deployable railway planning and advisory teams, commonly known as RPATs. The Expeditionary Railway Center is capable of conducting rail network capability and infrastructure assessments, rail safety assessments, and using these assessments to inform and advise the combatant commander on the employment of rail in a theater of operations. Additionally, the Expeditionary Railway Center is capable of partnering with Host Nation Rail and advising and assisting in the effective management of its railway system. Railway planning and advisory teams provide direct assistance to the host nation. They also function as primary advisors on railway operations to a corps or theater sustainment command. The Railway Planning and Advisory Team advises on host nation rail infrastructure and employment of host nation assets in support of military operations. They coordinate and communicate with the host nation supported unit or contracted entity to facilitate rail operations. See ATP 4-14 for additional information on the Expeditionary Railway Center. The Army capacity to operate railways does not include the equipment needed to mount a railway operation. For this reason, the Army ability to use rail transportation depends largely on the existing capacity of the area of operations. Rail is a strategic asset and an operational level of warfare asset. The military's Surface Deployment and Distribution Command arranges for all rail movements of cargo and personnel to the seaport of embarkation. Outside of the United States, the ASCC/MCCC is responsible for doing the same when deploying armed forces in support of a military operation. Because of limited military resources, the use of host nation personnel or contractors may become the primary source of O&M capability. See FM 4-01. During combat operations or in austere environments, rail loading and unloading areas may not be available or suitable for military equipment. General engineering units should be prepared to build expedient loading and unloading areas for equipment being transported by rail. Planning and design. The military uses roads and railroads to allow ground traffic to get from one point to another quickly and efficiently for as long as necessary based on operational requirements. An analysis of the requirements for roads and railroads can be completed by the phase of the operation or by the purpose. The analysis by the phase of the operation may determine the need for roads or railroads to support access, theater opening, force bed down, offense, defense, base camps, stability, DISCA, or redeployment. The analysis by the purpose may determine the roads or railroads to assure operational mobility, enable force projection and logistics, or build partner capacity and develop infrastructure. Based on operational requirements, the planner determines locations that must be connected, the degree of permanence or use, the characteristics of estimated traffic type, and the volume of traffic. LOCs may determine the locations of some military facilities, or the location of some military facilities may determine the location of some LOCs. Road site preparation includes the following procedures. Establish security, establish bypass and detour for existing traffic, stage equipment and materials, construct temporary support facilities, survey and stake out the road geometric design, rehearse on a test strip to verify quality assurance and quality control plans. Road construction planning methods and tools include equipment and personnel task organization, earthwork and time estimates, mass diagrams, personnel and equipment schedules, procurement. Route selection. Based on operational requirements and reconnaissance data, the engineer and transportation staff officers propose an initial route for roads and railroads. This proposed route is analyzed based on obstacles, route restrictions, grades, and the best horizontal and vertical alignment. The original route survey consists of straight line segments or tangents that are then connected through an iterative design process with horizontal and vertical curves to achieve the shortest, smoothest, most efficient route that requires the least construction resources. Roads. Military roads are classified according to their degree of permanence and the characteristics of traffic they are designed to support. Wheeled or tracked of a specific volume, number of vehicles per day. Military roads are classified as type A, B, C, or D, depending on the amount of traffic they are expected to sustain per day. Type A roads, 4-lane, are designed for the highest capacity, while type D roads, 1-lane, are designed for the lowest. Normally, types B, C, and D apply to theater construction. See TM 3-34.48-1 for additional information. Combat roads and trails. Combat roads and trails are a combat engineering mission because they are typically performed in close support of ground maneuver forces. However, combat and general engineers build them. Combat roads and trails are usually characterized by expedient construction methods and are intended to handle low volumes of traffic for a short duration to meet immediate requirements. Combat trails are intended to last only a few days and consist of the bare minimum considerations for drainage. Combat roads have a temporary surface of material such as crushed rock to increase trafficability. Since combat engineers do not have the time, equipment, graders, water distributors, compactors, and training of general engineers, they cannot construct a road to meet all geometric design for military roads. See ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha for additional information on combat roads and trails. Military roads are rarely constructed to meet the exacting standards of comparable civilian construction to include environmental standards. Their degree of permanence varies depending on how long they are needed. The primary difference between combat roads and conventional roads is the degree of permanence and the characteristics of the traffic they are designed to support. Combat roads are built to handle low volumes of traffic for a short duration. A combat trail is a traveled way that has been cleared of obstacles but has not been temporarily surfaced. A trail may be roughly graded by combat earth-moving equipment to provide a relatively smooth surface. Combat trails are usually adequate for tracked and wheeled combat vehicles. A combat trail is a route through areas where routes do not exist. A combat road is a traveled way that has been cleared of obstacles and temporarily surfaced by an expedient means to increase its trafficability. Combat roads usually do not have bituminous or concrete surfaces and consist of the bare minimum considerations for drainage. Combat roads require more effort to build than combat trails, but they support a broader range of vehicles and tend to last longer. Unsurfaced and surfaced roads. Unsurfaced roads consist of hastily cut pathways with native soil that is graded and drained to form a surface to carry traffic. Unsurfaced roads are the result of the first three steps of the construction sequence: clearing, grubbing, and stripping. This could become the subgrade for later surfaced roads. Unsurfaced roads are used in combat areas where the speed of construction is required and equipment and personnel are limited. Are used generally in dry weather or by light traffic. Are used as haul roads in construction areas and as service roads on base camps or bases. Require periodic maintenance and possibly dust control. Are designed to initial standards to enhance mobility for a short time, less than 6 months. Surfaced roads are laid out, designed, and constructed to specific criteria. The subgrade is compacted to design specifications and layers are added to create the road structure. Surfaced roads are used in rear areas or support areas where general engineers and resources are available, are not limited by most weather and are designed for specific traffic loads, are used as more permanent road networks such as MSRs and primary locks, require periodic maintenance and can be easily upgraded, are designed to temporary standards to sustain mobility for a longer period, up to 2 years. During contingency operations, nearly all roads are constructed to temporary standards. In some rare cases, semi-permanent and permanent roads may be designed to provide long-term mobility, up to 20 years. Permanent roads are often planned, designed, and constructed in conjunction with USACE or similar organizations. The employment of civilian contractors or service general engineer organizations may be used. Most new two-lane military roads are surfaced with aggregate, sand, gravel, crushed rock, slag, or recycled crushed concrete, stabilized soil, or the best locally available materials. This allows for future upgrades and permits the maximum use of readily available materials to complete the road rapidly. Selected high-use portions, such as intersections, may be surfaced with more durable materials to support heavier loads. Only a few highly used new military roads receive asphalt concrete or Portland cement concrete surfaces due to the time required and the added cost for this type of construction. Asphalt is a petroleum-based product with two primary subgroups used in construction: asphalt cement and liquid asphalt materials. Asphalt cement is mixed with aggregate and sand to make asphalt concrete. Liquid asphalt materials are sprayed on roads for various purposes. Bitumen, a generic term, is a broad category of materials that occur naturally, or it could be an asphalt that is distilled from petroleum or a tar that is distilled from coal. Bitumen and asphalt are often used interchangeably. Bitumen is often used outside the United States. Asphalt concrete, often called asphalt, and bituminous concrete are made with a bituminous material as a binder for sand and gravel. Bituminous design is described in TM3-34.63. Road networks. An assessment of the mission variables is considered when establishing any road network. These considerations should include the following. Mission. Operational and mission requirements will determine the minimum road classification and design requirements based on the expected period of usage and the anticipated traffic load. Enemy. Threat capabilities and anticipated types of action could affect the methods of construction and the road location and design. Avoid creating choke points and other potential ambush points when possible. Terrain and weather. The location of a road is dictated by operational and mission requirements. Existing slopes, drainage, vegetation, soil properties, weather patterns, and other conditions may affect layout and construction. Troops and support available. Use local materials, labor, and equipment when and where possible. Use simple or pre-existing designs, such as those in the JCMS, that require minimal skilled labor and specialized equipment when possible. Time available. Speed is critical when establishing a road network during a contingency operation because of the rapid and dynamic tempo of military operations. It is essential to save as much time as possible by efficiently using the minimum amount of resources. Use effective project management techniques to save resources. When possible, use staged construction to allow the early use of roadways while further construction, maintenance, repair, and upgrades continue. Civil considerations. Civilian property restrictions, real estate actions, existing structures, restricted areas, cultural beliefs, environmental considerations, and other factors may also affect road layout and construction. Route reconnaissance. It may be necessary to conduct bridge reconnaissance and classification computations. See ATP 3-34.81/MCRP 3-34.3, MCWP 3-17.4 for additional information on route reconnaissance. Proper site selection is a crucial step in new road construction. Future construction problems can be avoided by the careful reconnaissance and wise consideration of future operational requirements. A road project that is poorly laid out will not meet the requirements for construction ease and efficiency, maintainability, usability, capacity, and convenience. Engineer reconnaissance team. The engineer reconnaissance team is briefed as to the anticipated traffic, wheeled, tracked, or a combination, and the anticipated traffic flow. Single flow traffic allows a column of vehicles to proceed while individual oncoming or overtaking vehicles pass at predetermined points. Double flow traffic allows two columns of vehicles to proceed simultaneously in the same or opposite directions. The reconnaissance team may also be asked to determine the grade and alignment, horizontal and vertical curve characteristics, and nature and location of obstructions. Obstructions are defined as anything that reduces the road classification below what is required to support the proposed traffic efficiently. Prior to the start of the actual route reconnaissance, the engineer reconnaissance team should conduct a map reconnaissance of the site or area to include studying aerial photos, reviewing available geological and hydrological information and other geospatial information, and considering any other available relevant information. The engineer reconnaissance team may request the following sources of information to aid in planning reconnaissance missions and in making the preliminary study of a specific mission. Existing intelligence reports, assessments, and products, and threat analysis. Strategic and technical reports, studies, and summaries. Road, topographic, soil, vegetation, or geologic maps or other geospatial information. Existing aerial reconnaissance reports. Existing road design information or maintenance plans. Soil properties. The engineer reconnaissance team may also determine soil properties on site and at potential borrow pits and quarry sites along the proposed route. Soil properties, such as the liquid limit, plasticity index, California bearing ratios, and gradation, are required to properly design a new road pavement structure or upgrade an existing road pavement structure based on the anticipated traffic that the road will support. These soil properties are also required to evaluate the suitability of aggregate taken from potential borrow pits and quarries for use in road construction, maintenance, and repair. In low-lying areas, the use of culverts, corduroy roads, or matting may be required to reinforce the ingress and egress of these areas or to improve fording sites. Drainage. Drainage patterns impacting roads are also important in site selection. When the tactical situation permits, roads should be located on ridge lines. Thus, natural drainage features minimize the need for the costly and time-consuming construction of drainage structures. When possible, avoid excessive subsurface water. If it is impossible to avoid road construction in locations with saturated terrain, water tables must be lowered during construction. Steps must also be taken to minimize adverse effects of water on the strength of the supporting subgrade and base course. Obstacles. Where possible, avoid obstacles, such as rivers, ravines, and canals, to minimize the need for bridge construction or similar structures. Such construction is time-consuming and calls for materials that may be in short supply. Make maximum use of existing structures to decrease total work requirements. Do not bridge an obstacle more than once. Should gap crossing be necessary, ensure that the proper type of bridging or other methods provides an adequate and sustainable solution. To sustain traffic, roads have a crowned driving surface and pavement structure, a shoulder area that slopes directly away from the driving surface to provide drainage off the driving surface, and side ditches for drainage away from the road itself. The shoulder areas and side ditches along many roads may be minimal depending on their location and their road classification. Road design. The four major road designs that can be applied are geometric design, pavement structure design, drainage system design, bridge design. The road geometric design consists of the selection of road type, estimated traffic volumes, grade and alignment, horizontal curves, and vertical curves. Each road type has geometric design data such as cross-section elements and alignment elements that provide safe and rapid traffic movement. The geometric design data is provided to the constructing unit that lays out the design information on the ground with the construction survey. The construction survey provides stakes with survey details that construction equipment operators can use to conduct earth moving. Unsurfaced roads use the natural soil or borrow soil as the road surface. The design of unsurfaced roads is based on traffic characteristics and the compacted in-place soil strength. Unsurfaced roads meet all geometric design data for the selected road. Pavements. During contingency operations, consider whether to pave a road by considering the urgency of its completion, the tactical situation, the expected traffic, the soil-bearing characteristics, the climate, the availability of materials and equipment, and the necessity of dust control. See UFC 3-260-17. Pavements, including the surface and underlying courses, may be rigid and flexible. The wearing surface of rigid pavement is made of Portland cement concrete. Asphalt cement concrete pavements are classified as flexible pavements. The typical road pavement structure cross-section consists of layers, pavement or surface course, base, subbase, and select material, on top of a compacted subgrade. See UFC 3-250-04 and UFC 3-270-01. There are four types of road pavement structure designs which are distinguished by the pavement or surface layer. These types are as follows. Unsurfaced roads, aggregate surfaced roads, see UFC 3-250-09 Foxtrot Alpha, bituminous surfaced roads, concrete surfaced roads. Flexible pavements are used almost exclusively in contingency operations. They are adaptable to almost any situation and fall within the construction capabilities of normal engineer troops. Rigid pavements are not usually suited to construction requirements during contingency operations. Because flexible pavements reflect distortion and displacement from the subgrade upward to the surface course, their design is based on complete and thorough investigations of subgrade conditions, borrow areas, and sources of select materials, subbase, and base materials. See UFC 3-250-03 and UFC 3-250-08 Foxtrot Alpha for more information on flexible pavements. A road pavement structure sits on top of the subgrade or the soil in place. A layer of compacted subgrade sits on top of the subgrade, and a layer of select material sits on top of the compacted subgrade. A layer of subbase material sits on top of the select material, and the base course sits on top of the subbase. A road may have a flexible pavement, asphalt, or a rigid pavement, concrete surface on top of the base course. The thickness of a layer depends on the strength of the layer below it. Depending on design requirements, some layers may not be required. These pavement structures are designed to distribute wheel loads over a wider area of each subsequent underlying layer within the pavement, thereby reducing pressure on the subgrade soils. During contingency operations, nearly all roads are constructed as aggregate surfaced roads. These designs permit the maximum use of readily available materials and are easy to upgrade, permitting great flexibility to respond to changing operational and mission requirements. When possible, the roadbed should be aligned to take advantage of the most favorable surface and subsurface terrain. An alignment over soil with good properties meets the design standards for strength and stability and minimizes the need to remove undesirable materials. Other road considerations. The pavement structure design considers traffic characteristics, soil and construction aggregate conditions, compaction and cover requirements. The most common military road is constructed with an aggregate pavement structure design. The pavement structure design produces the layer material properties, thickness, and compaction design and final design profile with cut and fill information. TM3-34.48-1 provides additional detailed information on the design of bituminous and concrete surfaced roads. TM3-34.63 covers rigid pavement structure design for roads and airfields. See UFC 3-250-01. The overall road design consists of many factors. It may include chemically stabilized layer design, frost design, and geotextile design. One option to improve the ability of the road to support traffic is soil stabilization. The goals of soil stabilization are the stabilization of expansive soils, soil waterproofing, and dust control. Soil strength improvement increases the load-carrying capability of the road. Dust control alleviates or eliminates dust generated by vehicle and aircraft operation. CTM 5-818-7, TM 5-818-8/AFJMAN 32-1030, TM 5-822-14/AFJMAN 32-1019, and UFC 3-260-17. Soil waterproofing maintains the natural or constructed strength of a soil by preventing water from entering it. Soil stabilization is generally accomplished by either mechanical or chemical methods. In mechanical stabilization, soils are blended and then compacted. In chemical stabilization, soil particles are bonded to form a more stable mass using additives such as lime, bitumen, or Portland cement. See UFC 3-250-11 for additional information. Traffic flow over roads is far more efficient if curves and grades are held to a minimum. Even gentle curves significantly decrease traffic capacity if there are too many on a route. Therefore, lay out all routes with a minimum of curves by making the tangent lines as long as possible. The availability of long tangents is influenced by terrain. It is also limited by other principles of efficient location, such as minimizing earthwork, avoiding excessive grades, and obtaining desirable soil characteristics. Note, when excessive curves are required based on limiting terrain, consideration should be given to reinforcement of curves, concrete pads, to support tracked vehicle traffic. Railroads. The ability to rapidly move troops and materiel to key locations may well decide the outcome of a conflict. Railroads provide one of the most effective and efficient forms of land transportation available to forces during contingency operations. They can move great volumes and tonnages of material and large numbers of personnel over long distances with considerable regularity and speed in nearly all weather conditions. Railroads are flexible and versatile, and rolling stock may be tailored for transporting cargo. Extensive railway systems exist in most regions of the world and have an interoperability provided by standard equipment and common gauge, which may vary depending on the theater of operations. These capabilities make railroads a preferred means of transportation during contingency operations. Maximizing a rail system may depend on its capacity, length and condition of existing track, condition of rolling stock and other facilities, and its ability to support operational and mission requirements while still maintaining essential commercial traffic. ATP 4-14 describes the organizations, processes, basic construction and maintenance standards, and systems involved in rail movement. See UFC 4-860-01 for additional information on railroad design. See UFC 4-860-03 for more information on railroad track standards. All existing facilities should be used to the maximum extent possible to minimize construction time and effort. Transportation units in coordination with engineers conduct a reconnaissance and select new routes. New railroad construction will normally consist of short spurs to connect existing networks with military terminals or to detour around severely damaged areas. The focus of engineer effort should be on modifying and repairing existing railroads to meet operational and mission requirements. Local labor and management are key to the rapid modification and continuing maintenance of existing facilities. Local personnel can often supply materials and skilled labor to speed the work and relieve military personnel for other projects. Local railway operating personnel can be a good source of information on existing conditions, operations, and supply facilities in a given area. In order to expedite operations, railroads constructed during contingency operations may have accepted lower safety factors, sharper curves, and steeper grades than recommended by the American Railway Engineering Association. Once the minimum standard for immediate service has been determined, phased improvements can be made provided the importance of the line justifies the effort. Derive Army construction standards from AR-420-1. Per AR-420-1 and UFC-4-860-01, the American Railway Engineering and Maintenance of Way Association Manual for Railway Engineering is used for new construction or major rehabilitation. Use UFC-4-860-03 for routine maintenance and inspection. UFC-4-860-03 references also track safety standards. Railroad bridges. A railroad bridge is a lock bridge and is classified as a non-standard bridge. The Army does not have design criteria for non-standard railroad bridges, nor does it possess railroad float bridge equipment. Many varieties of standard railroad bridges are available through AFCS. Construction details and bills of material are addressed in TM5-302-1. The current engineer bridge reconnaissance procedure allows for determining the military load classification, MLC, of a rail bridge for vehicle traffic but does not include a methodology for conducting rail bridge assessment for the use of rail. An assessment would require the use of reachback or an on-site subject matter expert to make the crossing determination. The railway bridge construction process begins with a proper determination of design requirements. The engineer determines the appropriate load-bearing capacity of the intended bridge to support the full weight of the train itself, plus its maximum cargo load. In most cases, the design criteria should consider Cooper E80 loads, train with a locomotive weight of 520 metric tons and axle loads equal to 37 metric tons. Panel bridge equipment can be used as a field expedient for the assembly of railway bridges. Panel bridge design has to take into consideration rail design criteria and the associated deflections of these loadings to meet rail crossing requirements. The engineer coordinates with the Transportation Corps for support in railroad planning. The following information is needed: mission and required capacity of the proposed systems, type, size, and weight of rolling stock to be operated, track gauge, initial, intermediate, and final terminal points along the route, servicing and maintenance facilities required, connections with other railway systems, maximum gradient and degree of curvature required, scheduling or timetable for completing construction, direction of future development and expansion, outbound movement, the ready track and why. Railroad service facilities should be laid out so that servicing can be performed in proper sequence as the locomotive moves through the terminal. The usual relationship of operations and facilities from terminal entrance to terminal exit is inspections, inspection pits or platforms, lubrications, oil and grease service areas, ash pits for cleaning fires if steam locomotives are used, facilities, coal, sand, diesel oil, and water-appropriate facilities, repairs, running repairs, engine house. The urgency of the situation or lack of additional bridging assets may require that a railroad bridge be converted into a highway bridge by constructing a smooth roadway surface. The use of the bridge by rail, wheeled, and tracked vehicles can be achieved by constructing planks along the ties between and outside the rails up to the level of the top of the rail. The repair and reinforcement of existing railroad bridges is a much more viable option than new construction. Non-standard railroad bridging can be repaired or improved using any available and suitable materials. Railroad bridges will require specialized construction equipment and is labor-intensive. This generally precludes the construction of railroad bridges at locations away from existing rail lines. When a site is selected, use the basic criteria for general bridge sites. Railroad reconnaissance. After design requirements have been determined, transportation unit representatives and engineers will conduct a field reconnaissance to determine the siting of the rail system. The surveys, studies, and plans required for railroad construction are necessarily more elaborate than those for most road construction. Studies of the best available topographic maps, imagery, and other geospatial products narrow the choice of routes to be reconnoitered. Factors that affect the location of a route include logistics, length of line, curvature, gradients, load-bearing capacity of traveled surface, and ease and speed of construction. Each of the mission variables can impact on railway site selection just as they affect the location of a road. Terrain analysis procedures for railroads can be found in Engineer Technical Letter 0311. Logistics. Logistics is a major consideration in selecting a rail route during contingency operations. Normally, a rail line will extend from a seaport of debarkation, aerial port of debarkation, beachhead, or another source of supply in theater to the logistic support area sustaining the forces present. Alternate routes are desirable for greater flexibility of movement and as insurance against cases of mainline obstruction because of threat actions, wrecks, washouts, floods, fires, landslides, or enemy activity. An assessment is conducted to determine the vulnerabilities of rail lines to provide input to the threat assessment and security plan. These considerations include transfer switches, constrictions, centralized routing systems, junctions, and offload stations. The length of line, mileage from point of origin to terminus, is important only when it adds materially to the time of train movement. As much as a 30% increase in mileage is permissible when it proves advantageous to the other factors involved. Curvatures. Minimize sharp curves as much as possible, consistent with the need for speed during construction. Determining the curvature for a military railroad will depend largely on the maximum rigid wheelbase of train cars and locomotives. Super elevation is used to counteract centrifugal force on curves by raising the outer rail higher than the inner rail, CTM3-34.55. Ruling grades. The ruling grade of a route is the most demanding grade over which a maximum tonnage train can be handled by a single locomotive. Where diesel-electric units are used, a single locomotive may consist of two or more units that are coupled and controlled from the cab of the leading unit. The ruling grade is not necessarily the maximum grade. Steeper grades can be negotiated with the use of an additional locomotive as a helper engine. Or if the grade is very short, the train may be carried over the crest by momentum. Since military railroads operate at slow speeds, the ruling grade should be kept to a minimum. As always, the necessity for rapid construction should be a top priority. Ground reconnaissance. Select a good route that will allow the rail line to be rapidly constructed using minimal resources. Many additional hours of earthwork and grading can be avoided by a careful route selection. See UFC 4-860-01 for additional information on railroad inspection standards. CTM3-34.55 for more information on railway reconnaissance techniques. A complete ground reconnaissance of the possible railroad routes is required. The reconnaissance team should note distance and elevation odometer and barometer observations, general terrain characteristics, controlling curvatures, soil and drainage conditions, bridge and tunnel sites, bridge sizes and types, railway or important road intersections, ballast, and other construction material availability, and points at which construction units would have access to the railway route. Factors to be taken into consideration include the roadbed, rock cuts, hillsides, drainage, security, water supply, passing track, and surveys. Roadbed. The roadbed should be built on favorable soils. Clay beds, peat bogs, muck, and swampy areas are unstable foundations and provide unsuitable soils for building fills. Cuts through unfavorable soils will slough and slide. Seek minimum earthwork in locating the roadbed and track. Where rock cuts are proposed, select locations that will allow the bedding planes to dip away from the track to prevent rock slides. Avoid locations at the foot of high bluffs, which will subject the track to rock falls, slides, and washouts. Rock work is time-consuming. Avoid it when practicable. In a temperate zone, choose sites along the lee side of hills. This prevents snowdrifts and resists wind effects. Site selection considerations. The proposed railroad site should facilitate drainage or prevent the need for it. Ridge routes are best for this purpose but may be exposed to enemy fire or observation. Avoid locations that require heavy bridging. Note that diesel equipment cannot be operated over track inundated above the top of rail because water will damage traction motors. suitable sites for passing sightings are planned. Passing track spacing depends on traffic density and expected peak conditions of traffic flow. Surveys. The preliminary railroad survey includes cross-sections along the feasible routes. Trail locations are plotted and adjusted to give the best balance of grades, compensated grades, cuts, and fills. This establishes or fixes the line of the railroad. Field survey parties locate the precise line and then stake it. This requires much more precision than the location survey of most new roads, since curves and superelevations must be accurately computed. Once the necessary railroad reconnaissance and surveys are complete, the engineer prepares an estimate of the work and materials required and a plan for carrying out the construction. The engineer schedules the priority and rate of construction and provide for the even flow of material to ensure orderly progress. Schedules are continually being updated to accommodate changed field conditions or other exigencies. In addition to their planning function, the schedules can also serve as progress charts. Construction. Road and railroad construction require carefully planned methodologies. This section discusses the reconnaissance, steps, processes, estimating, and sequence required for sound construction and the upgrading requirements. Roads. The construction directive usually provides the road geometric design, pavement structure design, and drainage system design, but probably not the temporary construction drainage structures. Road construction encompasses the following considerations: site reconnaissance, site preparation, construction planning, construction survey, construction sequence of execution, existing intelligence reports, assessments and products, and threat analysis, strategic and technical reports, studies and summaries, road, topographic, soil, vegetation, and geologic maps or other geospatial information, existing aerial reconnaissance reports, existing road design information or maintenance plans. Construction steps and processes. Road construction processes encompass the following considerations: clearing, grubbing, stripping, cutting and filling, grading and shaping, ditching and sealing, road maintenance. Clearing, grubbing, and stripping are the same in road and airfield construction. Earth moving is usually the largest single work item on any project involving the construction of a road, unless the road will have significant gaps to cross. Any step that can be taken to avoid excessive earthwork will increase job efficiency. Adequate drainage is essential during the construction of a military road or airfield to control water runoff. A construction drainage system is temporarily established to prevent construction delays and structural failure before completion. The construction drainage system requires continuous inspection and maintenance. Consider the proposed use of the road. If it is to be used only for a short time, such as 1 or 2 weeks, a detailed drainage system design is not justifiable. However, if improvement or expansion is anticipated, design drainage so that future construction does not overload ditches, culverts, and other drainage facilities. See TM3-34.48-1 for more information on drainage. Drainage problems are greater when all-weather use occurs as opposed to intermittent use. Consider the availability of engineer resources. Heavy equipment such as dozers, graders, scrapers, and excavators is commonly used on drainage projects. However, where unskilled labor and hand tools are readily available, drainage work can be done by hand. Work estimates. When the necessary reconnaissance and mission analysis are complete, the engineer prepares an estimate of the work and materials required and a plan for carrying out the construction. The engineer schedules the priority and rate of construction and provides for the even flow of material to ensure orderly progress. Schedules are continually updated to accommodate changed field conditions or other exigencies. In addition to their planning function, the schedules can also serve as progress charts. Construction sequence. Once earthwork estimation, equipment scheduling, and necessary surveys are complete, the construction sequence can begin. Prepare the construction site by clearing, grubbing, and stripping. These activities are usually done with heavy engineer equipment. Use hand or power felling equipment, explosives, or fire when applicable. The factors determining the methods to be used are the acreage to be cleared, the type and density of vegetation, the effect of the terrain on equipment operation, the availability of equipment and personnel, and the time available for completion. For best results, use a combination of methods, choosing each method for the operation in which it is most effective. Conduct cut and fill when clearing, grubbing, and stripping are finished. Cut and fill are the biggest part of the earthwork in road construction. The goal of cut and fill work is to bring the route elevation to design specifications. Throughout the fill operation, compact the soil in layers, lifts. Achieve soil compaction with self-propelled or towed rollers. The end state is a structure that minimizes settlement, increases shearing resistance, reduces seepage, and minimizes volume change. The advantages that accompany soil compaction make this process standard procedure for constructing embankments, subgrades, and bases for road and airfield pavements. Cut, fill, and compaction efforts are intended to achieve the final grade. This alignment takes into consideration superelevation along curves to ensure load stability and falls within military road grade specifications. When final grade is achieved, cut ditching to control drainage runoff and crown the road along its centerline. The road is now ready for surfacing. Surfacing considerations. All unpaved roads will emit dust under traffic, making it an inherent problem. The amount of dust that an unpaved road produces varies greatly depending on local climatic conditions and the quality and type of aggregate used for road construction. Common dust control agents include chlorides, resins, natural clays, asphalts, and other commercial binders and membranes. Dust control and soil waterproofing can be carried out by applying these agents in a spray, soil penetrants, or admixture, or by laying aggregate, membrane, or mesh as a soil blanket. See UFC 3-260-17 for additional information on dust control measures. The agronomic method using vegetation cover is suited to stable situations but is rarely useful during contingency operations. To effectively apply stabilizers and dust control agents, ensure that the aggregate road surface has good gradation, construct a good crown on the driving surface, ensure good drainage, ensure that the equipment is calibrated accurately and is working properly, and rehearse the application of the agent using a test strip. Use expedient surfaces as temporary means to quickly cross small areas with extremely poor soil conditions, such as swamps, quicksand, and wetlands, when lacking the time or resources for standard road construction. These are unsurfaced roads where some material has been placed on the natural soil to improve trafficability. There are two types of expedient roads, hasty and heavy. Hasty expedient roads are built quickly to last only a few days. Heavy expedient roads are built to last until a durable standard road can be constructed. Expedient surfacing methods include cross-country tracks, corduroy, chest-paling landing mats, army track, plank tread, wire mesh, snow and ice, and sand grid. The availability of construction material determines the types and strength of roads that can be constructed. Naturally occurring materials, such as rock and wood, may be scarce or of poor quality. Portland cement may not be available or may be prohibitively expensive to use. Sand grid material is excellent for use in areas of cohesionless soil. Matting, steel planking, or geotextiles may be used if they are available. When roads are constructed in areas of poor soil conditions, roadways should be well marked and adequate drainage is provided. See ATP 4-13. Spray applications and surface treatments are the most economical troop-constructed surfaces. Surface treatment can be divided into two categories, sprayed treatments and sprayed bitumen with aggregate surface. Bituminous materials are tars, road tar cutbacks, or asphalt emulsions. Spray applications provide soil or aggregate with the following surface treatments. Prime coat, waterproofing. Tack coat binds bituminous pavement to the surface. Dust proofing. Spray bitumen with an aggregate surface provides a waterproof, abrasive, wear-resistant surface with no significant structural strength. Upgrades. Where possible, use existing road facilities. In most areas, an extensive road network already exists. With the expansion and rehabilitation of the roadway and the preparation of adequate surfaces, the road network can be improved to carry required traffic loads. Upgrading an existing road combined with routine maintenance and repair usually involves reducing or eliminating obstructions. It is the preferred method of improving the trafficability of a selected route. Techniques, equipment, and materials needed for upgrading roads are generally the same as those for new construction. A changing tactical situation and unpredictable military operations may also require that military engineers modify and expand completed construction. The location of a road should allow for potential expansion. Expanding an existing route or facility conserves labor and material and permits speedier completion of a usable roadway. Understanding the capacity of the existing roads and bridges is critical in developing a network of bypasses and alternate routes as threat levels escalate on designated locks and supply routes. Railroads. As a first stage in organizing railroad construction work, the engineer divides the line into sections in which special features, such as bridges, stations, yards, and rock cuts, can be constructed while other work is in progress. Work can proceed concurrently at several locations. The standard construction sequence is as follows. Clear and grub. Prepare the subgrade by cutting or filling and compacting. Unload and distribute track materials. Align and space crossties. See Technical Report FM94/01 for information on fastenings and other track materials inspections. Place line rails or ties. Place gauge rail on ties to ensure proper spacing. Line the track. Unload the ballast. Raise and surface the track. Make final alignments. In addition to the actual rail line, certain facilities are necessary to rail movement or are required due to particular physical conditions. Sidings are auxiliary tracks next to the main line, which are used for meeting and passing trains, for separating and storing equipment that breaks down en route, and for storing rolling stock that cannot be moved to its destination. The Railway Transportation Unit will determine siding locations in coordination with engineers. Sidings are built parallel to the rail line and should be 250 feet longer than the longest train that will use it and have a turnout at either end. Avoid highway and road crossings at grade when possible. When crossings are installed, construct them so that the road access is approximately perpendicular to the railroad centerline. Rail crossings carry one track across another at grade and permit the passing of wheel flanges through opposing rails. The design of frogs to allow these crossings depends on the angle at which they cross. In military railroads, most frogs are made of precast immobile rails that can be easily installed. Ys are used in place of turntables, which are impractical for use in contingency operations. A Y is a triangular-shaped arrangement of rail tracks with a turnout at each corner where two or more rail lines join to allow trains to pass from one line to the other. Ys may be installed at engine terminals, summits, junctions, and railheads as time permits. In some cases, the stem of the Y may be long enough to permit the turnaround of the entire train. Structures needed for supporting railroad transportation include facilities for train crews and maintenance personnel, yards and terminals, shop facilities for train and rail repair, engine house, water stations, storage areas for material and tools, loading ramps for cargo, block stations, facilities that house the switching and signaling equipment that controls train movements. A railhead is at the end of a railroad. Yards are a system of tracks that serve three basic functions. These functions include one or more tracks long enough to receive an entire train, a system of shorter tracks for the storage or classification of freight, departure tracks on which rolling stock from the classification yard may be assembled for dispatching. In addition to the auxiliary facilities described above, other specific construction requirements may be dictated by the terrain or operational requirements. Special equipment, materials, and expertise may be required to construct a railroad and its accompanying facilities to quickly and efficiently support units. Operation and maintenance. Roads and railroads require O&M to extend their service life and usefulness to support the force. This section discusses the routine and scheduled requirements and considerations. Roads. The operation of roads is often performed and controlled by transportation units or movement control teams when they are designated MSRs or alternate supply routes. Operation involves controlling traffic with orders, signs, checkpoints, and possibly patrols. Road maintenance requires a substantial amount of resources and technical expertise on a continuous basis. Roads should be maintained and repaired for safe and speedy traffic movement. Maintenance is the routine prevention and correction of damage and deterioration caused by normal use and exposure to the elements. Repair restores damage caused by abnormal use, accidents, hostile forces, and severe weather actions. Repair includes the resurfacing of a road or airfield when maintenance can no longer accomplish its purpose. Rehabilitation restores roads or airfields that have not been in the hands of friendly forces and do not meet operational requirements. Rehabilitation resembles war damage repair except that it is accomplished before occupancy. Routine maintenance and repair include inspections, stockpile of materials for maintenance and repair work, maintenance and repair of road surfaces and drainage systems, dust and mud control, and snow and ice removal. The main purpose of maintenance and repair work is to keep road surfaces in usable and safe condition. Routine maintenance and repair also maintain route capacity and reduces vehicle maintenance requirements. Effective maintenance begins with a command-wide emphasis that stresses good driving practices to reduce unnecessary damage. Once damage has occurred, prompt repair is vital. After deterioration or destruction of the road surface begins, rapid degeneration may follow. A minor maintenance job that is postponed becomes a major repair effort involving the reconstruction of the subgrade, base course, and roadway surface. The following guidelines should be observed in conducting sound road maintenance and repair. Minimize interference with traffic. To keep surfaces usable, maintenance and repair activities should interfere as little as possible with the normal flow of traffic. A temporary bypass may be required. Correct the basic cause of surface failure. Efforts spent to make surface repairs on a defective subgrade are wasted. Any maintenance or repair should include an investigation to find the cause of the damage or deterioration. That cause is remedied before the repair is made. To ignore the cause of the damage is to invite prompt reappearance of the damage. Reconstruct the uniform surface. Maintenance and repair of existing surfaces should conform as closely as possible to the original construction in strength and texture. Simplify maintenance by retaining uniformity. Spot strengthening often creates differences in wear and traffic impacts which are harmful to the adjoining surfaces. Assign priorities. Priority in making repairs depends on the operational requirements, commander's guidance, traffic volume, and hazards that would result from the complete failure of the facility. Maintenance inspections. The purpose of road maintenance inspections is to detect early defects before actual failure occurs. Frequent inspections and effective follow-up procedures early in the process prevent minor defects from becoming serious and causing major repair jobs later. Prompt and adequate maintenance, care of joints, repair of cracks, replacement of broken areas and correction of settlement, and drainage involves retaining a smooth surface and keeping the subgrade as dry as possible. A smooth road surface protects the pavement from the destructive effects of traffic and it reduces vehicle wear and tear. See TM3-34.63 for more information. Road inspections are essential to prevent road failure. When inspecting road surface and drainage defects, look for actual causes of the defects. Potholes are the most common type of road failure in bituminous wearing surfaces. Potholes and pavement defects can usually be attributed to excessive heavy loads and traffic, inferior surfacing material, frost in the base, poor subgrade, excessive settlement in the base, inadequate drainage, or a combination of these conditions. Ensure that all drainage channels and structures are kept unobstructed. Exercise extra vigilance during rainy seasons and spring thaws and after every heavy storm. Notes. 1. See TM3-34.63, UFC 3-270-01, and UFC 3-270-08 for additional information on road inspections and repairs. 2. See TM3-34.48-1 for additional information on drainage system maintenance. 3. See TM5-626 for information on unsurfaced road maintenance. Other maintenance considerations. Generally, the materials used in road maintenance and repair are the same as those used in new construction. Maintenance activities may include opening pits and stockpiling sand and gravel, base materials, and pre-mixed cold patching material. Place materials in convenient, centralized locations and stock in sufficient quantities for emergency maintenance and repair. Arrange stockpiles for quick loading and transportation to key routes. In some areas, extensive repairs are required to make roads usable. Advanced engineer units usually do this repair work. Under the pressure of combat conditions, repairs are sometimes temporary and rapidly made using the most readily available materials. Such expedient repairs are intended only to meet immediate minimum needs. As advanced units move forward, other engineer units take over additional repair and maintenance. Early expedient repairs are supplemented or replaced by work that is more permanent. Surfaces are brought up to a standard that can fully withstand the required use. Maintenance becomes a matter of routine. Engineer units establish a patrol system to cover the road network for which the unit is responsible. Periodic patrols by elements such as military police personnel who use the road net on a sustained and frequent basis can assist with patrolling. Engineer road maintenance and repair modules are organized with proper personnel, equipment, and supplies to accomplish road repair and maintenance in a specific area. As many modules as needed are organized to cover the AOR. The heavy traffic level and limited road durability may make it necessary to conduct maintenance on a 24-hour basis. A squad-sized road maintenance and repair module equipped with a dump truck, grader, and hand tools can conduct maintenance and minor repairs encountered on a 5 to 15-mile stretch of road. This module can be increased or decreased, and more or fewer miles can be assigned to a module as the mission dictates. Security conditions also influence the size and composition of these elements and the employment methodology. During contingency operations, severe winter weather may present challenging maintenance problems. Regions of heavy snowfall require special equipment and material to keep pavements and other traffic areas open. Low temperatures cause icing on pavements and frost effects on subgrade structures. Alternate freezing and thawing may cause damage to road surfaces and block drainage systems with ice. Spring thaws could cause surface and subgrade failures and may damage bridging. Winter maintenance consists of removing snow and ice, sanding icy surfaces, erecting and maintaining snow fences, and keeping drainage systems free from obstruction. Each command should publish a comprehensive snow and ice control plan that clearly specifies the responsibilities of engineer and non-engineer units. Engineer and non-engineer reconnaissance is established to monitor snow and ice conditions within the area of operations. Adequate personnel and snow and ice control equipment and supplies are allocated to support the plan. A detailed discussion of pavement failures, maintenance and repair methods, and rigid pavement maintenance is covered in TM3-34.63, UFC3-250-08 Foxtrot Alpha, and UFC3-270-01. Railroads. Railroads may be operated by the host nation, private companies, contractors, or military transportation railway personnel. Although transportation units have the responsibility for routine maintenance, engineers should be prepared to provide construction support when additional maintenance beyond the organic capabilities of transportation units is required. Rail lines and supporting facilities are inspected regularly to ensure adequate maintenance and proper operation. Necessary action is undertaken as quickly as possible to minimize future repair requirements. Railroad preventive maintenance, including the proper cleaning and lubrication of equipment and machinery, will minimize the need for unnecessary maintenance and repair. Railroads are susceptible to maintenance problems and are vulnerable to enemy attack, guerrilla warfare, and sabotage. Railroads used by the Transportation Railway Service already exist. Maintenance is required on supporting facilities, road crossings, railroad bridges, tracks, sidings, and switching equipment. See ATP 4-14 for additional information on railroad maintenance.